Well, friends, it's always an honor for me to get my brother Bob up here and to bring the Word of God. And I want to just thank him as well as his wife, Barbara. Barbara and Bob Harmon have been so instrumental in bringing me to faith in Jesus. And I want to just have Bob and Barbara just to stand. Would you just stand, Barbara and Bob? Just wave to both of them. Bob, would you come forward here? And a dear friend, Barry. Barry and I served in Royal Rangers together. Barry, just right there. We are my fellow comrade. 9 to 12-year-olds we taught together, didn't we? That's right. You grew up. I never grew up. So we're grateful. I want to just let you know I'm so proud of my brother because of Bob and his influence with the Lord and Barbara is that I was just shown how, first of all, to receive Jesus. And in our home setting of our Catholic upbringing, Bob was so on fire for Jesus, continues to be, that he gathered my little junior high friends and led us all in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was Bob's expression of faith that, hey, we can receive miracles, and he himself is a walking miracle of just physical healing. And with that, then that inspiration caused me to go off to Bible college, and we both served in the printing industry, our family, a mom and dad's business. But out of that, both called to go to Bible college, and Bob went on to receive his master's and then his doctorate as D-Men of right there at King's Seminary, and we're so thrilled to have him here once again. Brother Bob, can't thank you enough. You and I have had some great experiences from pillow fights to whitewater rafting, so you know. But thank you for coming. I love you, Bob.
Welcome. Thank you. This guy's a great pastor, isn't he? Yes. Yeah. Give it up for Pastor Paul. Well, thank you, Pastor Paul.
And Hope Chapel, allow me to come and share the Word of God. We're going to be actually looking at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 1 through 6, and I always like to kind of give an intro as far as the title of my sermon. It's The Blessings of Grace for Believers in Christ, and the theme is Ephesians focuses on the effects and grace with the blessings in Christ for the church and for Christian living. Relative to Christ's love and blessings, what is the church's place and purpose? What does it really mean to be a Christian, be part of the body of Christ, this beautiful body of Christ? Here's the bride of Christ right here, and it's celebrating Jesus all around this globe. The proposition here, it's an if and then. If believers understand who they are in Christ and God's purposes for them and through them, then they will see the plans and the calling of God more clearly as they enjoy the Lord's grace and peace as they follow Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we're all blessed through Jesus Christ. Amen? We're blessed because of him. And have you ever felt you had a bad day and just something just didn't go right? Yeah, you had a bad day. And but God, you're showing me lessons. What are these lessons about? One time, I was actually telling my brother, we were celebrating some family time, and actually it was Dolly time at the Harmon's house. It was her 83rd birthday. Second birthday, okay, we're going to give her an extra year, so hey, she's not. But I was telling Paul, one time, it was actually in 2001, I had a moment where things just didn't go well. My family, we would have standby tickets. My father-in-law worked for American Airlines, and we'd get these free tickets. And so we would wait on the side, and we would get a free pass anywhere, really, on the globe, because he worked for American Airlines. And so my wife had already went back east. My daughter lives in Rhode Island. Wow, Rhode Island. Who has children that are 3,000 miles away? Yeah, it's rough, huh? Well, we go back every year, and she comes every year to see us. In fact, we're picking her up July 4th from LAX. Well, anyway, I'm at LAX, and I'm on standby, and all of a sudden, the lady who says, you stand there, and we'll call you up. So everybody gets on board, and I come to the clerk, and I said, well, I'm waiting for you to call up. Is there any open seats? She says, oh, yes, there is a lot of seats, but the doors are closed. And once they're closed, you can't go through those doors. It's impossible. Well, that's our policy. I'm going, what happened? She says, sir, so busy, I forgot you. You forgot me? True. And I'm thinking, Lord, what's going on? I'm starting to get frustrated and upset. And then all of a sudden, I make a phone call to my wife. She's upset, my father-in-law. Everything is just like in scrambles. And so she says, well, you can go another flight out of L.A. to Boston about 11 o'clock, but it's full too. Because we're standby. You're the lowlifes getting on board. So it's like, hey, it's a free ride. If you get on, why not? And many times we've gone first class. But in this case, it turned out that I'm thinking this through and going, well, if I go to 11 o'clock flight, it's booked. The Chicago flight is open, but it's going to be a delay. So I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm gonna have to do something here. And I make up my mind. Now, 20 minutes have passed, and so all of a sudden I think, you know what? I'm just going to go through Chicago. I don't want to get bumped again. So I ended up going back to the clerk's desk, and she gets a call. She said, what? What? They're bringing the plane back? And she looked at me, she says, sir, this is your lucky day. I says, I believe in providence. And so, you know, I'll talk about providence in a minute. So anyway, I get these guys, they look like men in black. I don't know if you saw the men in black. They're with the glasses, and they're all suited up. And these guys march me down to the ramp where the plane's trying to come back in. And here comes an 18-year-old that was having a conniption. He was having a panic attack on the runway. And he walks out, and the stewardess, she said, well, we knew that someone was left behind. And, you know, that feeling of being left behind, I don't know if you ever felt that, just forgotten. And I said, I'm kind of getting a little proud, you know, well, providence, you know. And she says, sure. And I says, is there any first class seats? He says, no. And so I go to coach, and coach is, you know, the people in the back, and first class is if there's an open seat. So she calls my name out. Mr. Harmon, you come to the front. Now I start to get worried, like, uh-oh, maybe I'm not going to get this flight. She says, would you like that first class seat? I said, oh, yeah, I would. Providence is God's way, and in this, it's through divine providence, God accomplishes his will. To ensure that his purposes are fulfilled, God governs the affairs of men and works through the natural order of things by which he, with wisdom and love, cares for and directs all things in the universe. The doctrine of divine providence asserts that God is in complete control of all things, even for my vacation. You know, he has a plan for all of us. And I had a great vacation. Thank you, Jesus. But this providence also, too, that we see in Ephesians, we'll look at that in a minute, is that he has you in plan. He always had you in plan. My plan, or God's plan for me, started May 25th, 1971. Paul said we come from a Catholic background, and I was a broken young man, came through the 60s. I had a magic bus, a 61 Volkswagen bus. It would have fit good in Huntington Beach area. But as wrong things are done in that van. But anyway, what was happening is that I went to this Catholic Bible study, Father Roth, and he pointed his finger at me and said, Bob, he says, you got away from God. I said, Catholic school, all this stuff, catechism. But I went, and they were saying, did you ask Jesus in your life? I says, we're Catholic. We don't do that. And so it turned out that I said, Jesus, if you're really real, come in my life. On the way home in my bus, I heard this. Now, we had a Bible in our home. It was a big Bible that would choke a cow. It was just huge. But we had pictures. They're great. The pictures in the Bible is wonderful, and they still are. But anyway, I'm going away thinking this isn't working either, because I was just, like I said, a broken young man of 19. And it turned out that I heard this voice in my mind. It says, if you keep your mind on Jesus, you'll have your peace. And those blessings began to happen in my mind. I was instantly healed. And I remember that time, that journey, where Paul was, you know, they're watching my life. By the way, back then, we had more hair than we do today, too. Yeah, But it turned out that in that journey, I began to hunger for the things of God. I began to read the Word. It started to come alive. Yes, sir. And so in the process of this coming alive, I started to see Jesus. You know, you think in the Bible, this is a lot of stuff to read. But it just started to dance, come alive. And I saw Jesus, and I saw Jesus in the Old Testament. I didn't know everything, but I just began to understand the truth of it. And through this, in the book of Ephesians, I began to see, especially the first three chapters, I saw that God has such a purpose and plan for my life. And so my hunger was just to know that more, just as we sang about that today. Lord, more of you. And so in that, I, like with Paul is a big influence in my life, and Ainsley as well. I thought, gosh, if he's going to go to school full-time, I'm going to go to school part-time. And so on a 23-year journey, I got to do this desire to follow, this desire of seeing what was in Ephesians and also the Gospel of John 17, seeing this love of us in Christ, being in Christ, and this triune God's purposes for every one of us in this room and on this planet. And so I got to do a thesis project. Maybe some of you were here, Pastor Paul and Ainsley invited me to come back on Wednesday because I needed an audience to work on this what we called a project thesis, but it's been a lifelong project. It still is. I'm still just learning like you. I'm a lifelong learner. But in the process, I'm seeing like you this beauty that we have in Christ, being in him. We're blessed, and God is going to continue to bless us. Right now, we have such a time as this where we're going through our journey. But God, it's an eternal journey. But while we are, he's showing us his blessings. And it's to be enjoyed now. It's not what you do for him. It's what he's already done for you. And this is what we're going to look at in Ephesians chapter 6. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, which is six little verses. I'm going to try to break that down the best that I can. Paul said, I get 20 minutes to preach. And I said, man, we're Pentecostals at our church too. And we got at least 50. I'm just kidding you. So anyway, if you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1 through 6, Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to him according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. Amen. This God loves us, and he's blessed us with the faithful in Christ. It's so important. Paul saw his position in Christ. We too need to see our position in Christ. That's the desire that I wanted to do in my life, to see this place in Christ. And that's what that working through that whole process of this doctoral process that I did. I wanted to see more of us in Christ. And I'll break that down a little bit. But as believers, we follow him by the will of God because he has a purpose for us. And of course, what is that purpose? Like Paul, we go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all people, that they may know him more. And also to Paul, it wasn't just Paul's ambition, but it was the will of God. You may have an ambition, but it's the will of God that he so desires you to know him more. That's God's desire. Paul was going to suffer, and you may suffer too as you serve this king, because people may not want to hear this love. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17, now thanks be to God who always allows us to triumph in Christ and make known this Christ, this love, this sweet aroma. But to some, it's an aroma of death. It doesn't smell right. But to those whose heart is open, I'm hungry. God, I want to know you. It's sweet. It's a fresh aroma. That's what God wants to work through you and I. The ministry of Jesus Christ just doesn't work through a few. He works through all of us. He works throughout the ministry of Jesus when he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. But he also says, the greater work shall you do because I go to my Father. The work of Jesus is working through us. Isn't that neat? The work of Jesus is working through every one of us, not because what you have done, but what he's already done for you. And you walk in that, you walk in Christ in that light. He's in the light. And you're going to have fellowship with people of light, but also people with darkness, and that darkness is going to be exposed, and they will cry out to Jesus like I did back May 25th, 71. Are you real? And they're going to be asking about you, knowing him too. But the great call is this, and it's in Romans chapter 1, 5 through 7, and this is, Paul's talking about his call as an apostle, but he also says, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Some people say, I got a call to be a pastor. I never asked to be a pastor. I just knew I wanted to know more, him more. I saw my brother go into the pastor at Banning. I said, man, I love that. Paul worked with me in ministry, and we worked together, and it was just great. It was just so exciting to see what God was doing. But I didn't really sense that I had a call to be a pastor. I just want to call. I want to follow you, Lord. I want to know more about you. And then an appointment came about 23 years ago, and we took this church. But it was like, okay, you'd use me, Lord? He wants to use anyone who's just willing. And just, you know, if you really feel called to be a pastor, be careful, because those are really tough grounds to hold. But by God's grace, we can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens us. And so that's the great call. And Paul says this in Romans, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And to the saints, is in the Greek, it's hagios. It's a set apart. You're set apart. God has a call for each one of us. You're a holy vessel. Like the vessels they used in the tabernacle, these were like pots and pans that were used. Yes, we get dinged up and dented, but God still loves us. It's not when you fail or you have the great victories. He loves you either way. God is love. You say, well, I failed, Lord. I messed up here. My marriage has struggled. God loves you. God just said, let's start again. You feel like you're banged up, but stay faithful. Actually, actively believing and trusting God. The faithful is actively believing and trusting God. And in Christ, we're called saints to live faithful lives through Him. Not just in your ministry, but we're living faithful lives through Jesus. He's the one that helps us. And so part of my journey and my project, I came across this place of that we're in Him and He's in us. And I'm going to share a Greek word that you may never have heard before. But this in Christ, it's abiding in Christ, means an unbroken fellowship that the triune God intended for humanity to enjoy the benefits of a new life that denotes a relationship with Christ, that is Christ in the believer and the believer in Him. How many have ever heard of the word perichoresis? I know Ainsley has because she was a perichoresis. Well, perichoresis, it's a Greek word that the early fathers in the 3rd and 4th century, they were looking at Christ. How would He come? And why did He come? Well, God came in the person of Jesus so that we would have this dwelling within the triune family, this first family, Father, Son, and Spirit, to enjoy this life that we're saying, yes, I got Jesus, I'm saved. But it's even more than that, this beauty that's in you and wants to work through you, and you be part of this God who loves this world. And perichoresis, it describes this loving fellowship experienced by the three persons of the triune God. It is God's purpose that believers experience the same affinity and fellowship with the Trinity and with other believers. We're a family. That's why Jesus says, this is my family, Mom, brothers and sisters. And He looks, because they wanted Jesus to jump. And Jesus says, I get it. Mom, I love you. He didn't say it like that. Scripture doesn't say that. But this is my family, my mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters. This is what this family of God is about, entering into this perichoretic lifestyle. The perichoretic union, this perichoretic union is part of the being of God that makes known to us the God who desires to present to us, to indwell us, so that we are in Him and He is in us. God is being in relation. This God is a being. He's spirit, but He's a being. He's in relation. He's in communion. We have communion. We relish the time when we fellowship with God, but it's in this communion. Right now, we're having communion with the triune God and with one another. This is communion. I know it's like, well, I don't get it. Where's the bread and where's the grape juice? No, this is communion. This is where God desires us to walk in this love. He says, God, even as we would say in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, forgive me, but also, Lord, forgive those who trespass against me. God wants communion. He wants you to continually walk in this light as He's in the light and express this overflowing fellowship of acceptance and delight and passion with His love. God, as we see in Zephaniah, He says, I sing over my beloved. He sings over us because He cares for us. There's a Greek word called chair. It's rejoice. Paul talks about this in number two. Blessed are the blessed with grace and peace. Paul rejoices of these facts, the central truth that we see in Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace we're saved through faith. So this grace, he says, praise God. He's saying this. He says, blessed be the God, and that we have this grace. And in the Jewish tradition, we see the word peace, shalom. And if you don't know Jesus, we know we don't have peace. And the world needs Jesus. The world needs to know through your ministry, not just Hope Chapel. But ours, we're New Hope Fellowship. So I'm kind of working the wires a little bit. But that they would hear of this grace that is working through your life as well. And so as we see this peace that God has given, Paul talks about this peace, and he says this peace is given to us alone by his purpose and his grace. Shalom is also out of Isaiah 26:3, and this is what I heard from the Lord May 25th, 71, when I'm driving away in this Volkswagen bus. Never read the Bible, but I heard this verse, but it wasn't exactly like it. It says, if you keep your mind on Jesus, you'll have your peace. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep him in perfect shalom or peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And as we put our trust in him, there's a place where we get transferred. It really, especially when we come into the kingdom, we get transferred, as Colossians 1:13 says, we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the Son of his love. Isn't that wonderful? We've been all of us, when we know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, there's a transfer. And it can be like that, like for me. It's like, you love me? Paul, at that time, was 13. He had a lot of hair like I did. My hair was down the shoulders, and wish I had more of that. But it was like that. I was like, I didn't have to see the psychologist. I was free. I was healed. And Paul saw that. My family saw that. And you'll see that in your own life as you look to him. Blessed, and number three, blessed to be the praise of the triune God for his blessings in Christ. Paul burst out in this praise because he knew what God was doing, and he wanted to share that with the church in Ephesus. He saw this. And there's a Greek, a Hebrew word called baraka. It's called baraka. And it's blessings. Blessings. And when they go to, I guess, Israel, I don't know if you heard that word, baraka. It's blessings. And as well as you may hear shalom. But also, too, we hear in the Greek, eulogia. It's we're blessed. There's a eulogy about it. We're a blessed people because what Christ has done for us. We're blessed with every spiritual blessings in Christ. And not so much material blessings, but the spiritual blessings. The beautiful thing is that Jesus says, you seek me first, and I'll give these other things to you too. Everybody's always seeking stuff and outside the kingdom. You keep the kingdom in the focus of your life, and God will just overwhelm you. He'll overtake you. Just like when we believe in the tithe and the offering, God says, I will overtake you with blessings if you trust me, even with that tithe and offering. Sometimes people just have a hard time with that. Friends, trust God in every part of your life. We share this common life with Jesus and other believers. It's not just about you, but it's this common resurrected life that, because when Jesus says, you know, I am that way, I am the truth and the life, it's a commonality. And even when you have those donuts out there, and the coffee, there's a word we used in my journey, commensality. It's where we're going to be hanging out with each other and breaking a little donut. Yeah. You're having commensality where you're thinking of me. People, they don't care how much you know about Jesus sometimes, but they do care about how you care about them. Then all of a sudden, Jesus starts to come through. And they're going, well, why? Jesus changed my life. But they care. They may not even hear a sermon, but they're going to see your life that you care for them. Amen? Right. People want to see your life. You may preach and it just goes over their head, but they want to see Christ in you. And the beautiful thing, too, is in this family, Abba, we get to sit with Jesus in heavenly places today. Amen. We're with him. And we can come and put our spiritual heads like John put on Jesus at the time of his betrayal and say, Papa, Daddy, I love you. On the Father, it says from his heart, the kopos, his chest. The Lord loves you so much. He cares for every one of us. He's not partial. He just wants all to come. And who wants to come? He's not a control freak like a lot of pastors. You know? they do this and we do that. Jesus said, just come. Come as you are. I love you. Christ has this access to the Father, and he inspires everyone. It's because the Holy Spirit's in us. We're blessed and chosen for this purpose by this grace alone in Christ. He's chose you and I. Not by fate, it's not by karma, it's not by, you know, winning the lucky lotto ticket. Oh, I'm really blessed. No, you're blessed because he chose you. That's better than any win on the planet. He chose you because he loves you as an eternal special place for every one of us. But right now, he's even using us in this place as well. A young man wanted to join the church, and when church members was examining him, they asked him, how did you get to saved? He answered, well, I did my part, and God did his part. The church member thought they had him in error. So they asked him, what was his part and what was God's part? The young man said, well, my part was sinning. I ran from God as fast as these little rebellious legs would take me, with my sinful heart would take me and lead me. I ran from him. But you know, he took out after me until he ran me down. Amen. He just ran us down. He loves us. One time at the Union Rescue Mission, I had a dog, Teddy, and preacher was, we went there about 10 years ago, and it was a women's section, all these kids, and nothing's happening. They give them the four spiritual laws, and the women wanted dinner for their kids, and I just lost my dog, Teddy. It was a Brittany Spaniel. Run! So I'm running down the street, Teddy, come back, and probably about two blocks later, there's Teddy with somebody he doesn't even know. Teddy belongs to me. Teddy, come to Papa. No, come to, you know, and Teddy came back, and I'm telling this story to these ladies. I says, ladies and kids, Jesus is calling out to you. He loves you. You ran from him, but he's here. He went after you because he loves you. You come back to Jesus. It's your call. And about 12 ladies came. It worked so well with the ladies in the men's section. Same thing. They like dog stories. You know, we like to tell stories. Somebody says, are you going to tell any jokes? I don't have time. Paul took all my time. No, really. Paul, you don't know this one, but we have an uncle Andy. His name is Andy Busimus. Come from the Dutch Reform. And years ago, I don't know if Paul remembers this, but we were at the dinner table, and Uncle Andy said this. People say, have you found Jesus? Uncle Andy then laughed, and he said, as he's listened to, tell our Catholic family at dinner. And Uncle Andy replied, and he says, I didn't know he was lost, but I was lost, and he found me. Uncle Andy Busby said that. And so here we are. We have, he chose us for this very purpose, and he's given us positions. We're holy and blameless. You know, God sees us, you know, in Romans it talks about God calls out which is not as though it was. We see it also, too, when he talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, we're not going to cover that, but a little bit where he sees his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Yes, I know we feel broken, but that's how he sees us. He loves us. We are beautiful to God. He wants us in this perichoretic union, in the dance. By the way, perichoresis is, it's a choreograph of a dance. God dances, and he loves us so much, but the enemy wants to throw things at us, and he blocks us. I'm not worthy, and yet, who is worthy? But by grace, you are who you are, and you walk in this light, and you begin to grow and hunger for the things of God and stay in a fellowship like this, and Pastor, what can I do? And God begins to just use you in little ways. It's those ladies that Billy Graham said that are really going to be blessed in heaven because they weren't the ones in the front like the pastors or Billy, but it's those ladies and those brothers or sisters back in the back room praying for the message that God would speak to them, the masses, to come to Jesus. That's what God desires, that we would be willing to be used. He chose you by this grace. And yes, we cry out to him. There's this grace and purpose that God has for us. It's his good pleasure and will. He has this good pleasure for every one of us to walk in this place. And Paul couldn't help but to praise the glory of this grace. Praise you, Lord, for this grace. It's unmerited. We know that. Grace is unmerited favor. It's not what you have done. We do feel good when we work for the Lord. Amen? To help in little ways. But he's done it all for us. Walk in that light, enjoy one another, forgive one another. You're going to be wounded. I get wounded. We all get wounded. All of us. And our kids, they're just little, they don't get it. Why is this happening, Daddy, Mommy, Grandpa? But then as they see your life, as you work through the things of life and you walk in this grace and light, they'll get to see this. And that's the beauty. But Jesus, he's not going to pass you by. He's going to come and look for us. He's going to also bring that plane back for you because he has purpose. Even if it's a vacation time, he's going to bring it back. He's going to bring it back for you. He wants you to enjoy life. Enjoy your life. By the way, I have a fivefold ministry, and it's this. It's Jesus, my wife, and my family, Barbara. I can't do anything without her. You know, she says, you may be the head, but I'm the neck that turns it. But, you know, so, but it's then my job. I have a job. You got a job, right? Pastor, I just quit my job because I'm gonna serve in the church. Well, who's going to pay the bills? Well, Pastor, we need this month's payment. Well, that doesn't work. Your job, ministry, and then school. That's Bob's fivefold ministry. Jesus, Barbara, my job, ministry, and then school. A lot of people that they have seen, your pastor has seen a lot of people blown out for school. I got to go to school. I got to go see Jesus. Keep those basics, and God's going to take you through. Friends, God has this beautiful purpose for every one of us, and he wants so much for you to walk in this light as he's in the light. When God calls you out of this darkness, it's because he desires to pour out on you this great love. He calls you out of the darkness. Grace is peace through Jesus. Christ will grant every one of us, the saints, of these spiritual blessings. There are spiritual blessings for all of us. And you think, well, I don't have the gift of prophetic ministry. Listen, the gifts work in all of us, friends. Just take that step out. God, it's little bits. Like Paul said, it was back in probably June or July of 71, and all the neighborhood kids, and one after another, all these kids speaking in tongues. I was surprised myself. But it was wonderful because these kids are hungry. Jesus says, unless you become as a simple child, you won't enter the kingdom of God. Stay in that simplicity and grow in this grace. Christ grant to each one of us these spiritual blessings. Either you're going to claim them or you're not going to claim them. I think Pastor Paul said that in his prophetic thing. Friends, you either take it, take this light, or you don't. If you don't, friends, do. Because he's already done it for you. Amen? Amen. I'm going to just encourage you. I'm not going to have you all rush up to the front. I'm out of time. I got 3 minutes. But I'm going to. But friends, take what's yours. He's done it for you. It's yours to take, and it's yours to reject. But the wise one would fear the Lord. That's the beginning of your wisdom and your journey. I will say this in closing, that Jesus says, come and follow me. One translation I came across, it says, come and adventure with me. This is an adventure. It's a beautiful adventure, and it will never end. Amen? Thank you.
Bob, thank you very much. Can we thank my brother Bob? It's always been the attraction to me is how Bob and Barbara modeled an attraction, a relationship with the Lord. We trust that that's happening with you as well. Would you just close your eyes with me just for a moment? Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for individuals in this room, just like Pastor Bob Harmon, Barbara Harmon, who have served and modeled a relationship with you for years. And I give you thanks for that, Lord. And it shows that they are really born again. And for those who are here, shows signs that each of us are really born again. So if there are those that are having a challenge even, feeling distant and would like to be closer to you, and Lord, thank you for moving in their heart right now. Thank you for just saying, Lord, I want all that you have for me. All that you have for me. I want to be used by you. I want to enjoy you. Even before outcomes of situations and life's challenges. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Let the peace of God come. Let fellowship be renewed with you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing one last song, and we're going to pray you off a blessing. So just before we go, I want to just thank my brother Bob once again. I know the way he's called Brother Bob, but Pastor Bob Harmon. I'm going to invite you all to stand to your feet. Would you join us in singing this last song? And I'm going to invite Ainsley, if she would, take our guest speaker and his spouse, Bob and Barbara, to the glass doors where they can just fall in love with Hope Chapel like I am, too. Friends, once again, thank you for coming. I know that the Mansours want me to remind you, they have a wonderful cake out there where our normal donut table resides, and please enjoy that. That's in honor of the dedication of Evan Mansour. So if you get a chance, make your way over there. They just want to share that with the first service as well as the second service people coming on in. But what a great morning it's been. We want everybody to have a safe and sane 4th of July. May it be a dry one. How many know what I mean by dry? Very few of you do. That's a good thing. I'm glad. Hey, in the meantime, we do have altar prayer. If you're needing something to believe the Lord for, we have our life group leaders, and if there are others here that are able to join us up front, we welcome you. Our life group leaders, by reason of reminder, our life groups are on summer break, so please remember, let them rest up, gear up for the fall season that will be happening.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.